Verse 1 of Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion. To you vows are made, to you who answer prayer. Prayers of praise, in fact. All flesh comes to you with its burden of guilt. All flesh means all human beings, you know, with our weaknesses and our brokenness and our hebel, you know, this is basar, but it means all corrupting, going to death, weak, vulnerable, all that human condition, but not the elan vital, but the rest of us, you know. So all us poor broken human beings come to you with our burden of guilt. Comment Isaiah. All flesh shall come to worship before me, says Yahweh. And again Isaiah, turn to me and be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Then comes a lovely line which I'll have to spend a little moment on, because we haven't met it before recently in any case. Verse, second half of verse 2, our transgressions overwhelm us, but still you pardon them. Now the word pardon, I'm not the English word, but it comes from the Hebrew kippur or kapar, depends on how you... So it's that sound kippur, which is used for pardon only four times in the Psalms, in verse 49, which we've met earlier, here, and then Psalm 49, also Psalm 78 and 79 it occurs. So you need to get back to the image behind this word kippur, kapar. And it takes us back to, it means cover. A kippur is a cover in Hebrew. And it goes back to the temple, to the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on that Yom Kippur, that's what the Jews still call it. The Day of Atonement, Day of Pardon, if you like, when the high priest, after the 10 days of Teshuvah, 10 days of Lent, the equivalent, Teshuvah means metanoia, repentance. The debts are paid, forgiveness is offered, families are reconciled, all that kind of thing. And then the priest, high priest, takes all the sins of the people in with him, and he goes for only time in the whole year. He's got a whole new set of vestments, which will be burnt immediately after. He spent, I think it's 40 days with bathing, and because it's all ritual awareness of what he's going to do, because no one's allowed into the Holy of Holies. And he goes into the Holy of Holies with incense, and the sins then are brought with him into that sacred place where God is. And of course, sin and God can't be, so they go, they're burnt up, as it were. They kind of vanish. They're gone forever. Then he comes out and places these forgiven sins on the scapegoat, the goat, and that's sent out into the desert, and like just another symbol for it's gone forever, gone into the desert. Purification is the idea. Well, that's the word used here for pardon. There's a lot of other words for forgiveness and mercy, but this particular special word has its own special memory, so it's related to that. The book of the Hebrews in the New Testament is full of this image. The hilasterion is the name given in Greek to the cover of the... That's the kippur. It's hilasterion in Greek. That's the cover of the holy of the Ark of the Covenant. The mobile golden altar where God dwells, invisibly, but they're under the two cherubim, protective creatures. So there's the same image there. And Jesus is the one, the high priest. That's why the image comes there. He goes into the Holy of Holies and... who takes away the sins of the world. You go, a whole lot in our Eucharist still picks this up where we're now going into the holiest place, the sanctuary, etc. Sin cannot exist in the presence of God. So when you bring sin to the cover, the kippur, it's consumed in the fire of God's merciful forgiveness. So that's the image behind that little text. And you'd never get that from English. You just have to know the Hebrew word and its resonances in the Bible. Verse 4, happy is the person whom you choose to bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the goodness of your house. with the holy gifts of your temple. So the psalmist is full of gratitude that he's been chosen to be in the temple where he is showered with God's gifts. And happy is the person whom you choose to bring into live in your courts. Jesus' beautiful words laughs up, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And so it's a beautiful choice thing. Of course, as with the chosen people, they thought they were specially chosen by God, and they were. Their blindness, no, I'm not blaming anyone, was that they didn't realize that everyone is chosen. The Hebrews were chosen, the Greeks were chosen. So if we thought we were specially chosen, so we should. If there were six kids in your family and you felt you had a special place in your father's heart and your mother's heart, you're absolutely right, you did, you do. But you'd be a rather silly child if you thought that your parents only loved you and didn't have a place in their heart for your brothers and sisters. So you can be special, and everyone else can be special too. So the choice is open. But why we say many are called and few are chosen, few of those called are the chosen ones, that's not saying God is limited in his choice. It means a lot of people aren't welcoming the choice. A lot of people are leaving home. You know. A lot of people are walking away from love. How many? We don't have to measure, and we do it ourselves at times. So that's the point he's making, is it's not automatic. God doesn't choose you and then you're locked in. God chooses you. Okay, we're going to choose 11 people to play in this particular football game or whatever it is. Is there 11 in soccer? Just forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah. So then you're chosen. You say, "Oh no, I'd rather stay home and look after the horse." So you're still chosen. And if there's 22 there, say, "Yes, well, you have two teams." It's not a problem. But we are chosen. We're responding to love. We're not initiators of love. Verse 5-8, and the rest of the psalm I'll just read, really. "By awesome deeds you answer us with justice, O God our Saviour. You are the hope of the ends of the earth and of the remote ocean. By your power you establish the mountains, for you are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are overawed by your signs. And you make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout with joy." There's this beautiful sunrise and there's this beautiful sunset, the gateways, and they're all full of colour and love and light, and the morning star and the evening star, not on the same day, but they're all, otherwise we've got major problems in the... "You visit the earth." This is a lovely piece of poetry. They tell me this is just delightful Hebrew poetry. "You visit the earth, you water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is swollen." I presume that's the Jordan. "You prepare the grain harvest by watering the furrows abundantly, settling their ridges, softening them with showers and blessing their growth. You crown the year with your bounty, and your furrows overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow, the hills are girded with joy, the meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are decked with grain. Together they shout and sing for joy." Beautiful image of wonderful harvest time.